Heading down to King's Kids. All right, and teenagers are heading down to teen class. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 this evening. Ephesians chapter 5. Taking a small break from our normal scheduled program and Jeremiah. We are going to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. On Sunday, we looked at carnality and what it costs when we decide to be carnal. We're going to look at the opposite of that this evening and what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? I think it's important that every Christian be filled with the Spirit. And so we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read a familiar verse, verse number 18. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Before we get into this passage, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our redemption. He is the seal of our redemption. And Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us the Bible and impresses upon us the meaning of it and the significance of it and how we can apply it to our lives. I thank you for the Holy Spirit convicting us when we need it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this evening as we look at being filled with the Holy Spirit. Help us to understand what that means and how it can affect us and change our lives from the inside out. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you saved this evening? Do you know Jesus is your Savior? Amen. That's the first step. Amen. Because the Bible says, if we have not the Spirit of the Son of God, we're none of His, right? But if you have been saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've been born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? That's just amazing to me. Why would God give me His being? That's just amazing. And the Bible talks about Him indwelling me, amen? And so I take Him with me wherever I go, ever I go. It's not like I have to remember to pick Him up. Sometimes I leave the house. I get up in the morning. It's still kind of dark, and I'm brushing my eyes. I get ready, and I get all ready, and then I'll leave the house sometimes. Usually it's on Sunday morning when I'm leaving, like 6 o'clock in the morning, early to get over here to the church. And I'll leave, and I'll forget my glasses, because when it's in the morning and I can see better in the morning. Like right now, you're all blurry, but in the morning I can see a little bit better. It's not until I try to read something that I realize I don't have my glasses on, and that's a problem. My wife laughs at me. She says, "You forgot them again." And sometimes I just forget them things, you know. But you don't have to remember. The Holy Spirit just is with you. Amen. He's just there all the time. And so the charismatics believe that you get a little bit of the Holy Spirit maybe when you get saved. And then later on, there's this filling of the Spirit, or there's empowering the Holy Spirit. And, it's like another experience that we have. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches we get all of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation that we're ever going to get. And then I need to daily be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? Well, the word filled here. The points made by Paul in these following verses are made in keeping with the theme of the book concerning the church. And there are lessons that the individual Christian needs. Amen? Now, the church is the only as strong as its individual members, correct? And so we're jumping into the middle of a greater context here. This is a letter written to the church of Ephesus. And he's talking to a church that's been fitly framed together. Remember that? In chapter 2 there. And there's no Jew, there's no Gentile. We're all just saved. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. And that's a whole nother lesson. And so he gets to chapter 5 here, and he's going to touch upon each and every individual in the church. We all need to be strong, do we not? All of us. And so it's important for us, each of us, to be strong and be growing as a Christian. Now, the word filled in this verse here simply means to be filled to the top. I like things filled to the very top, don't you? I'm the type of guy that when you go to the fountain drink, you know, I fill it to the very top and then you put the lid on and then you go, how do I put the straw in, right? Because it's almost oozing out the top. I like everything filled to the very, very top. And that's what this word means. You can think of a sponge. You ever seen a sponge that's completely saturated with water? If you touch it and just water oozes out from the sides, you know, you pick it up and it's all wet. It's completely saturated with water. That's what this word filled means. So the Christian should be completely saturated with the Holy Spirit. I think that's important. As such, he should begin to take on the properties of the Holy Spirit in his daily life. Now, this can be illustrated with a glass that's filled to the top, and I do not have a glass with me this evening, but let's say that I filled two glasses up, Bob, one with, motor oil, a cup, you know, all the way to the top with motor oil, and I set it on this side of the table, and over here I put a glass and I put nice, clear, pure water in it to the very top. All right, so in the process of time, we come and we bump the table. What's going to come out of this glass? Motor oil, right? It's going to make it. It's going to stain the nice white tablecloth we got up here, right? Because it's filled to the top with motor oil. What's going to come out of this glass? Water, nice clean water, right? Because it's filled to the top with water. And a Christian ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can fill yourself with the wickedness of this world, right? Or you can fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. And when your life gets jostled, what's going to come out? What you're filled with, right? And so it's very important. The example given in this verse is a contrast, all right? So if you look there at verse 18, there is a contrast, obviously. Be not drunk with wine. We all understand that, do we not? We have all seen and maybe experienced being drunk with wine. Wherein is excess? Now, you can understand someone who is drunk with wine is controlled by the effects of the wine, is he not? He cannot see straight. He cannot talk straight. He can't walk straight. He can't even think straight. Correct? I remember when I was in school, I have never taken alcohol, and praise the Lord, I haven't had that opportunity, and I don't plan on it. But when I was teaching in the Christian school, we had a police officer came, and he did a class, you know, on, I forget what all the class was, but he had with him some glasses that was supposed to make it look like you're drunk. And so he put a piece of tape in the hallway of the floor, and he put the glasses on one of the, you know, the junior hires. And he said, walk that straight line. You know, he's teaching them what it would look like. And they couldn't walk that straight line. It was actually kind of humorous. They're running into the lockers, running into the wall. But they couldn't walk that straight line. And I'll never forget that. He said, that's what, and I put the glasses on and I couldn't see anything. It was just totally, it was all blurry. And things looked wavy and all that thing. And so I tell you, it controls everything about you. Amen? His judgment is influenced by the drink. Now, on the other hand, the Christian that is filled with the Holy Spirit is controlled by the will of the Spirit, just like the drunk was controlled by the alcohol, you see. And so we need to be filled, I guess we could use the word drunk, with the Holy Spirit. That makes sense? And so his flesh cannot see straight. Your flesh won't be able to talk straight. Your flesh won't be able to walk straight. And your flesh won't be able to think straight. But praise the Lord, your spirit will. Amen? And so that's very important. Instead the Christian shows less effects of the flesh and more of the character of the Holy Spirit that is permeating his life. That's what filling of the Spirit means. Being completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, in a similar passage, let's turn over, keep your place right here, but turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, just a few pages over, really. And let's look at verse number 16. Again, here, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit. or controlled by the Spirit. Here it's mentioned a little bit different in a different light. It says here in verse number 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And so here we see that the Spirit and the flesh are at enmity with one another. And since you're a human, how many of us are humans tonight? All of us, right? We're humans. That means we have a flesh, do we not? That desires the things of this world. We were born with it, were we not? Now thank the Lord it's been crucified, I'm dead to sin, I understand all of that. But as long as I live on this earth and I live in this body, I have the flesh. Do I not? And you do too. But if you're a Christian, you also have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is different than the flesh, completely opposite. They're polar opposites. But my flesh is here and my spirit is here, and I keep going back and forth and there's a fight. It was said of an old Indian who was asked about this verse, and he said, "Well, it's like two dogs fighting." He said, "There's a white dog and a black dog." And he says, "Well, which one wins?" And he said, "The one I feed the most." And so we need to be feeding our spirit. And you feed the spirit through the word of God. Amen? And you feed the flesh through television, the world's music, the world's language. Just everything about this world will feed your flesh. So I stop feeding on that and I start feeding on God's word. And then I see the difference here. Now, another way to describe being filled with the Spirit is to be led of the Spirit, as it says here in verse number 16. Or walking in the Spirit. As the Christian yields his own life to the leading of the Spirit, he is being filled and controlled by the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God. Do you believe that? We could go all the way through the Bible. We could find out that the Holy Spirit is the one speaking here. In fact, if we go to, we're not going to turn there right now, but 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word is a compound word. Inspiration is a compound word. And one of the words is a derivative of the word for spirit. Spirit, breath. All right? So, in other words, it was God's Spirit that gave us these words. And you can see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Correct? And so, it's the Holy Spirit that speaks, and he speaks through his word. Therefore, it is impossible to know and understand the will of the Spirit unless the Christian is in the Word of God. The longer you go without reading the Word of God, the longer you go without hearing from the Spirit. It's very true. Okay, by having a steady diet of the Word of God, the Christian is essentially filling himself with the Spirit of God. And so we need to be filling. Now, in being filled with the Spirit, the Christian begins to take on the likeness and traits of the Holy Spirit. I want us to turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to look at the context here and see how the filling of the Holy Spirit will affect you personally, all right? What does a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit look like? Well, look at verse number 19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so in verse 19, we find out a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit will be singing. You'll have a song in your heart. Isn't that amazing? I have known a few people in my life. I grew up without, you know, my parents didn't sing. They just didn't. You know, on a regular basis, all through the day. My mom is not a singer, you know. She got up one time to sing a special in church, and she never did it again. She was too embarrassed, you know. But anyways, my mom sang, you know, if we sang as a congregation, but she didn't sing by herself, you know. She just didn't, and that's fine. But I could hear her humming every now and again, you know. She had a song in her heart. And so I grew up, you know, we didn't sing all the time. I was quiet when we worked. It was just quiet. We worked hard. It was quiet. Then I got to college and I met this guy named Shane Kohlmeier. Some of you have met Shane Kohlmeier. He's came and preached for us here. He's an evangelist now. And that guy sings constantly, like 24/7. The only time he's not singing, and I'm convinced sometimes I'd hear him when he's sleeping, you know? The guy sings all the time. He just has a song in his heart. And that's one thing I noticed about Shane. Another person that has a song in her heart is my wife. Oftentimes you'll hear my wife, you know, she's just humming and she's singing. And it's just interesting. And when we first got married, you know, she's just singing all the time. I said, "What? Why do you always sing all the time? You know, it's just new to me." And she says, "Well, I don't know. I have a song in my head and I want to sing it, you know?" I think it's important. I really do. And so we need to have a song in our hearts and making melody to our Lord. And you'll be praising the Lord if you're filled with the Spirit. Look in verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see in this verse that your very motives will change. In other words, your outlook on life changes. We start giving thanks for things. The world looks at that and they just like, that's a crazy person. I mean, literally. You're thankful for everything. Always saying thank you for this and thank you for that, right? And just have a heart of gratitude inside. And it changes your entire outlook on life, does it not? When you become thankful. And in fact, that's a godly trait, is it not? Being thankful. And so when we're filled with the Spirit, we have a song in our hearts and we have a different outlook on life. We're thankful for God, to God, for all things. You say, even trials in my life? Yeah, we're thankful to God for that because God allowed it, did he not? And we ask the question then, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? Not, why are you putting me through this, correct? Like literally, your outlook on life will change when you're filled with the Spirit. We go on to the rest of this chapter here when we find out that the home life changes, amen? Now, I want to stop here for just a moment and say this. I think it's important to note that what we're reading in verses 19 and 20 and through the rest of this passage are symptoms of being filled with the Spirit. You understand that? We're reading symptoms here. In other words, you can put a song in your heart and sing it all the day long, but it be fake. Does that make sense? You can put on a show of being thankful about all things in your life, but it's fake. Your heart's not in it. And so, in other words, it is not as important to strive to praise and to give thanks as it is to strive to be filled with the Spirit. Now, it takes a lot of energy to be happy all the time, doesn't it? You think about that. If you don't... Lay Jesus Christ aside for a second. Lay your salvation aside for one moment. I'm just for sake of discussion. And you just try to be happy about everything. These people on television who try to, you know, positive thinking and all this type of stuff. It takes a lot of energy. I tell you what, it's just like, it'll bog you down. And by 2 days' time, you're just like dragging on your knuckles. I can't do this anymore. And then you're going to snap at somebody really big time, right? And so if you throw all your effort at the symptoms, you're going to come up shorthanded. But if you throw all your effort into filling yourself with the Spirit, then these things come second nature, you see. And so I need to be filled with the Spirit, and I'll find out that praise and thanksgiving come just naturally to a Spirit-filled Christian. And that goes the same for everything else we're going to talk about this evening. So what does a person look like, personally, individually? Well, he has a song in his heart, and he has an attitude of gratitude, correct? That's what a person looks like who's filled with the Spirit. So what does a married couple look like here in the passage? Verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So we have here in this passage, it's outlining what a husband and wife should look like, correct? Mm-hmm. specifically a husband and wife who are both filled with the Spirit. This is what the home looks like. Now, honestly, there have been times that my wife's home did not look this way. There have been days where it hasn't. Amen? It's just, we have fights, you know? We have had fights, and the Lord has brought us closer together in the last probably 5 years. The Lord's really brought us together. But when we first got married, we struggled in this area. We really did. I remember one time we were sitting there at home. My brother was over. We lived in Tennessee at the time. And my brother and I were splitting some wood in the front of the house there. And I was getting ready for winter. And Andrew was over and helping me split some wood. And so we're out there, and my wife pulls in, and she pulls into the garage, and she takes the mirror off the side of the car. You know, she got a little too close to one edge and knocked the mirror off the side of the car. And my brother and I are both standing there, axe in hand, just looking at it like, I'm just like dumbfounded. You know, we've been married for like 3 months. And I'm just like, she just broke the car. And my mind's obviously thinking about how much it's going to cost, right? That's like $500 right there, you know, immediately. That's what my mind goes to. And my wife gets out of the car and she says, oh, I'm sorry, I broke the mirror. Can you carry the dog food up? And she went inside. Just like that, in that tone. And I'm standing looking at Andrew, and Andrew just laughing. I tell you what, I was not in the spirit right then, amen? I was a little bit upset. And there have been times like that, you know? And here I've known in my life it's been the case, and you know, and I've seen it in other people's lives. Husband and wife yelling at each other. The phone rings, and they're still yelling at each other. Hello, how are you doing? Yeah, doing great. Oh, we're doing great here. We're doing great, you know. And they hang up and right back to the argument. You know, it happens. But I tell you, a husband and wife who are both filled with the Spirit. In other words, she has her time with God every single day, and she is filling herself with the Holy Spirit, and he over here is filling himself with the Holy Spirit, and then you know, by himself and her by herself, and then together. And the Bible says, what are their home going to look like? Well, the wife is going to be submissive, and the husband is going to love his wife. And remember, these are symptoms. Now, I can go home and I can artificially love my wife. My wife can artificially submit to me and have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. We're just artificially doing this. And that takes a lot of effort. But if I scratch all that nonsense and I just focus on filling myself with the Holy Spirit, this comes natural. That's amazing to me. It really is. And I found that it's much easier in my life to focus on this rather than that. And that comes naturally. All right, so we see here the marriage is going to look, that's what a married couple will look like. A wife who's filled with the Holy Spirit will submit to her husband. A husband who's filled with the Spirit won't lord over his wife. He'll love his wife for who she is. And, you know, all the imperfections isn't going to matter much to him at all. He's just going to love her. Now, you get down to chapter 6 and verse number 1, and you say, well, can children be filled with the Spirit? Absolutely they can. Amen? And I'm not speaking to children in the room this evening, but I'm speaking to people who have children. Right? And so we have children, and we need to make sure our children are doing this. Now, it says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I always like that verse number 3. The promise here is that you'll live long on the earth. And I always think, it always takes my mind back to my son, who one day we were living in North Carolina, and we lived on a busy road. I'd liken the road to like Harrison Avenue. And we lived right there. And so you pulled into our driveway right off of that road. And I remember the front yard wasn't that big. And Gabriel, we were getting in the car. And Gabriel's out there, just a little 3-year-old, something like that. And he's running out. He's running right at the road. And I yelled at him. I said, Gabriel, at the loudest voice I possibly could, stop. And he stopped. He's about 10 feet from the road. And right then a car went flying by. And I tell you what, I said, that's what that verse means right there. He's living a little bit longer because he listened. Amen. He obeyed. And so very important to teach our children to obey parents. Amen. Very, very important. All right, and that's just a physical aspect. There's a whole spiritual realm here as well. But we look at this, and a lot of times we read to verse number, chapter 5, verse 33, and we put the Bible away. We get it out 2 months later, and we pick it up in chapter 6, verse 1, and we don't connect the two chapters. And so I think they're connected. I think the context continues into chapter 6. And so we're talking about a person who's filled with the Spirit. Personally, he has praise in his heart for God. Outwardly, he has thanksgiving for God, to God, for all things. His home life and his marriage is just it's like heaven on earth. Amazing. And then you take a look, you go over and you say, what does his children look like? Well, they're obeying. They're obedient. And this says something for the parents, but it also says something for the children, does it not? Here the children are being filled with the Spirit as well. I think it's important for parents to preach the gospel to their children. I remember when we had Julia. I think she was about three, maybe two or three. And we were in North Carolina. I was teaching at Christian school. I was assistant pastor. And my wife and I weren't getting along. You wouldn't tell it at church. You'd never know. No one ever knew but us. My wife will say the same thing. We were at each other's throats, like literally. And I tell you, I mean, we go to school, we go to church. She taught in the Christian school. I taught in the Christian school. She was in the church, and I was, up on the platform in the church service and everything, and doing everything spiritual we're supposed to do. And it looked great. Our family looked like a good family. But we'd go home, and it was not heaven on earth. And so we decided, we sat down one night and we just were looking at each other. We'd just been at each other's throats and having an argument. And we looked at each other, what is wrong with us? Did your parents ever fight like this? Her dad's a pastor. She said, no, my parents never fought like this. I said, well, my parents didn't fight like this. What is our problem? And I mean, we never really got close to leaving each other, but we just were at each other's throats. And I said, what is the problem? And she said, I don't know. I said, well, let's try this. And she agreed, and she inputted some of her thoughts too, but we decided we were going to stop watching television in the evening. And we didn't even have a TV. We just had, like an iPad or something, and we watched a show or something, like an Andy Griffith show or something in the evening. Nothing immoral or anything like that, but we decided we were going to cut that out so we can go to bed earlier and get up an hour earlier. I left at 5:30 to go to school every morning. I was there for 12 to 13 hours every single day. I put in, I was burnt out. I was burning a candle at both ends in that job. And my wife was about the same way. She was raising the children as well. And I tell you, we were just at wit's end in our lives. And we were not reading the Bible. You say, I was a pastor, right? But I wasn't reading the Bible. And so we decided we were going to just lay off the television for a while, and we're going to read the Bible. And in a couple months' time, we looked back at our lives, and it was totally different. We'd come home, and we wanted to come home to be with one another. Isn't that amazing? I mean, our lives completely changed. And we're sitting in the living room after the kids had gone to bed, and we had a little prayer time together with each other. And my wife looked at me and she says, you know, reading the Bible is like magic. I said, that's a good way of putting it, I guess, if you want to use the word magic. But it's like we didn't even try to fix all these other areas of our life. All we did is start reading the Bible. And it all worked itself out. And in doing that, we decided every single night we would have what's called Bible time. Now, my daughter was about 3 years old at this point. Gabriel was two. And we decided we're going to read a little bit. And I had a little children's Bible story book. And so I'd read a verse or two. And then I'd read that story. And we'd talk about the story. And then every night I would present the gospel to my children. And I remember Julia was 3 years old, and she went. They put them to bed, and my wife and I were out in the living room. We were just, winding down, if you will, and talking about things. And we heard little footsteps come, And Julia came out into the living room. She says, "Daddy, I want to get saved. This is my first child, and she's 3. You know, I got saved when I was 7. And I'm thinking, looking at her, I'm like, I don't know. Do you really understand this? And I said, so we went through the gospel again with her, and I said, why don't you think about this? And then if you still want to do it tomorrow night, you come and tell mommy and daddy. I wanted her to know if it was real. You know what I mean? She came the next night out of her room, same thing, and pattered out into the living room and says, "Daddy, can I get saved tonight?" I said, "Why not? Let's do it." And so she prayed and asked Jesus to come into her heart. And each of my children have done the same thing, because we've presented the gospel to our children from the time that they could hardly talk until finally they get trust in Christ as their personal Savior. Amen? Isn't that a great thing? And so since then, we've had Bible time with our children. And my thinking is, I want to pump as much Bible into my kids as possible. There's all kinds of reasons. The first reason, that they be filled with the Spirit. Amen? And so that they can experience these things as well in their lives. Another reason is, you know, I don't know where this nation is going. I really don't. I really think that we're going to face persecution in our lifetimes. And I want to pump as much Bible into my children while it's still possible and still free in this country. Amen? And so I teach my kids the Bible as much as we possibly can. We just finished reading the book of Revelation and last night, and we finished that, and I said, "What do you want to read next?" And Jenny popped up. She says, "Matthew." I said, "All right, we're reading Matthew." And so we'll start that, you know, tomorrow night. Well, praise the Lord. God uses that in the children's life. So children and parents, you know, they work hard. They really, really try to get their children to obey them. You know, and they put all that effort into making their children obey them. When really, if the child is filled with the Spirit, that comes second nature. Like, literally. So I'd rather put the effort into this, amen? That's where I want to put my effort. Now, I need to hurry, but it also talks here about parents. And look in verse number 4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I tell you, a father who is not filled with the Holy Spirit will fly off the handle very, very often. I know, because I am a father, and there are times that I have to just leave the room because I am just upset. And the Lord gets a hold of me. The Spirit says, "You know, this is not how you're supposed to be acting right now." I say, "Yes, sir," and I just leave. Just leave. Get out of the room and come deal with the problem when I'm ready. And the Lord's ready for that. But I tell you, a father who is filled with the Spirit can rightfully discipline, rightfully guide and direct and nurture and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so the father, it is so important for fathers, it's so important for mothers to be filled with the Spirit. It's very, very important. Now we go on here to verse number 5, and it talks about servants. Wouldn't you know, God put something in the Bible about employees, amen? Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ." And of course, I'm almost out of time this evening, but there's a lot here. But the servant is to be obedient to their master. If you notice there in let's keep reading, verse number 6. "Not with eye service, as men pleasers." You ever seen eye service before? Boss says, "I need you to go out and do such and such," and eyes roll. You know what I mean? Or maybe there's another employee there that's just almost like a teacher's pet or a boss's pet, you know, and they want to please men constantly. That's what this is talking about. "But as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." So God doesn't want you to please men. Here you go to work, you sit down or whatever you're going to do for work, and you get there, and the boss comes into the room, and the boss says to do something. I'm going to obey the boss just like Jesus would have just told me to do that. That's what this verse is saying. I'm not obeying the boss, I'm obeying Christ here. Because Christ has allowed that person to be over me. So every time I obey his voice, I'm obeying Jesus Christ as well. It says here, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Isn't that amazing? So if we change our thinking around, we're serving our master, but we're not serving our master, we're serving Christ, if that makes sense. And that comes when we are filled with the Spirit. And then God also speaks to masters here, to employers. Look there in verse number 9. Ye masters, do the same things unto them. So the master will begin to treat his employees, the employer will begin to treat the employees like human beings again when he's filled with the Spirit. He'll be able to do the same things unto them. They're being submissive to me, so I'm going to be submissive to them. I'm going to give a little, they're going to give a little. I'm going to work with them just as much as they're working with me. Amen? Forbearing, threatening. I'm not going to threaten them. I'll lead them like a shepherd would lead. Amen? Not drive them. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And so we get through this whole thing and we found out what the person individually looks like, personally. There's a song in his heart and there's thanksgiving on his lips, correct? And we get into his home and we look at his home and we see that the wife is submissive to the husband and the husband actually loves his wife. That's an amazing thing. That's like unheard of in this world now. But someone who's filled with the Spirit, that's what his life looks like. And then you go and you take a look at his children, who he's been teaching every single day about the Bible. And, it's like frontlets between his eyes. And he's got the Bible written on the post of the doors. They talk about it when they sit up and when they stand up and when they sit down, when they lay down, when he rises up. He's always talking about the Bible to his children. And his children have trusted Christ as their Savior. And his children are filled with the Bible. They're filled with the Spirit. You say, well, his children honor their parents. Isn't that something? That's like unheard of. You see a family walk through Walmart and the kids are behaved and you say, wow, that's just, you don't see that every day today. Well, that's, and I'm not saying every family that's like that is filled with the Spirit, but that is a sign of being filled with the Spirit. Amen. And then we look at that. We look at his, the fellow's employment. We go, we follow him to work. We watch him come into the work and he doesn't have a bad relationship with his boss. He actually obeys. He actually does stuff. He actually gets things done at work and has a good relationship with his fellow employees. And it's just like, this guy is like perfect. He's not perfect. He's just filled with the Spirit. Amen? And we get down to verse number 10 of chapter 6. And here's where it really hits home, because we're in this spiritual battle, are we not? I mean, we're constantly fighting this spiritual battle. And so he says here in verse number 10, finally, my brother, and mind you, he's still talking about a person who's filled with the Spirit. He said, finally, my brother, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Whose might? The Holy Spirit's might. That's where the strength comes from. Because you've been filling yourself with the Word of God, and Jesus Christ has prayed that the Holy Spirit would come in his name. And the Father sent the Holy Spirit when you got saved, and you have the Holy Spirit, and so you've been strengthened, and you have all the might that you need to fight this battle. You have every piece of armor you need as you sit in your pew this evening and hold your Bible in your hand. You got every piece of it. There's nothing you're missing this evening. You have it all. You just got to put it on. And so he goes on and he says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here come the wiles of the devil, the trickeries of the devil. He's going to tempt you. He's going to try you. He's going to run you through the ringer. He's going to, like Peter, sift you as wheat. And you're going to be able to stand against it because you're relying on the Holy Spirit. He goes on in verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That verse scares me in one way. I look at that and I go, I'm lost. There's a whole lot going on here that I can't see and I don't even want to see. There's a whole spiritual realm that's a battle that's going on around me and I don't know how to get into this battle and fight this thing. I need help. So the Bible says in verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, The whole thing is girt about with truth. Truth is the Bible. Amen? So this armor is going to start with the Bible. It's going to end with the Bible. Amen? And so we see here in verse 14, we have the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Amen? The breastplate of righteousness. And where do you get righteousness? Only through Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm living my life like Jesus would. Verse number 15, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, a spirit-filled Christian is one who witnesses and wants to witness. I think it's important. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You're not going to stop the darts. They're still coming. But you can quench them and render them useless through your faith. Amen? You read the scripture, I believe that. You read something else, I believe that. You read something else, I believe that. And your faith begins to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. That's an amazing thing. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Aren't you glad you're saved this evening? It's just like a, you know, it's better than a tin can, isn't it? It can protect you. And then again, we have at the end here, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. And how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I just dive into this book. I read it every single day of my life. I wake up in the morning, I read it. If the Lord allows you and gives you time, read it in the daytime sometime. If the Lord gives you more time, read it at evening before you go to sleep. But at least read it once a day, at least. And get this, start hiding God's words in your heart. Memorize a verse or two. Amen? Memorize one verse a month. Just try that. Just try it. We have on the bulletins a verse to memorize every month. Memorize it. Try it. And see what happens. I would guess that probably the Lord would start blessing you because of it. Amen? I really think He would. And so this evening and the rest of our lives, as we look at this passage, we're not going to put our effort into being happy. We're not going to put our effort into making sure we say thank you all the time, right? We're not going to put our effort into submitting to our wives or loving, or submitting to our husbands or loving to our wives. We're not going to put our effort into making those children get in line. All those things are important, but that's not where the bulk of my effort goes to. I'm not going to put my effort into, you know, never provoking my children to wrath. I'm not going to put all of my effort into being a servant, you know, that just obeys his boss, or a boss that treats his servant correctly. And I'm surely not going to put all my effort into looking around, trying to find where the spiritual battle is and try to fight it somehow. I'm going to step back, and I'm going to put all my effort into filling my life with the Holy Spirit. And everything we just talked about this evening will come second nature. I believe that with all my heart. And it's a whole lot easier way to live the Christian life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit again, who just gives us everything we need and provides for us in ways that we can't even imagine. Lord, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities when we pray. And, it even translates our prayers for us. What an amazing thought. Lord, thank you for giving us everything we need to have a happy home, have a happy life, have a happy workplace and employment, have a strong relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ, and even fight off the devil. You've given us everything we need in the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd help us just be filled with the Spirit on every day of our lives. I pray that that would be the first prayer when we wake up, that I'd be filled with the Spirit. I pray that the Bible would be read every single day, and that the Holy Spirit would just, we would grow in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that he would control each and every aspect, each and every avenue of our life, and we'll thank you for it. We give all these things to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.